Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin our shiur, we want to remind you to get a hold to acquire a sefer that is full of illustrations that are essential for the understanding of Maseches Chulin. The book's name, the sefer's name, is Sichas Chulin, authored by Amitai Ben David. In fact, today will be the first time in our Limud of Chulin that we will be making a reference to this sefer. We will be interested in looking at a picture that's on Daf Gimel of the sefer, but more importantly, if there have been any updates or changes in editions, you'll always be able to refer to the Daf of the Gemara that the picture corresponds to, as he has the Daf indication on every page. So we're looking at pictures that are relevant for Daf Ches in the Sichas Chulin book. The topic heading that we have assigned to this particular Gemara in our marked Gemaras, the Shas Ozer that appears on your screen, or you may have already ordered a volume of Chulin, so you will see in the outside margin we have a topic heading that we call Nosei, or sometimes we have a Mivneh heading, which is a structural note. In this case, the topic heading under the Nosei heading is Libein Sakin V'Shochat Bo. Libein is to fire up a piece of metal, to heat it up till it's white hot. The word libein from the word lavan, white. So you have a knife that's very hot, and you use this this white hot glowing knife to slaughter an animal. We have to point out that in slaughtering a cow, there are two organs, two neck organs, that are the trachea and esophagus, the windpipe and food pipe, that need to be cut. The majority of each one needs to be cut. That's called rove kol echad v'echad. And it is also noteworthy that a hole in these tubes can cause trephus, will cause the animal to be unacceptable. There are differences between the trachea and esophagus with regard to size of holes. When it comes to the esophagus, the food pipe, the hole that renders it unfit is a mashihu. Even if it's a pinhole in size, a hole in that tube would render it unfit. Let us say that while cutting the esophagus, before you reach the halfway mark, or the majority mark, if some type of deficiency arises in that tube, before you've reached the rove mark, that will render it unfit. Therefore, we are interested to know what happens when you take a red-hot knife and start the slaughtering process. You cut, in other words, you do the slaughtering process with a red-hot knife. Is what is taking place a cutting action? And if that be the case, then the shechita is okay. However, if there is a burning action taking place, that would be unacceptable. The Gemara at the top, Omar Rabbi Zeira, Omar Shmuel, Libein Sakin V'Shochat Bo. A person fired up a knife, a metal knife, and used it for slaughtering. Shechitaso Kshera, the slaughtering is considered acceptable. And the reason for that is Chiduda, the sharpness, the edge of the knife, Koidem Lilibuna, precedes the heat, the hot element. So that what is happening is that the sharpness, which is a very, very thin edge, which the heat factor would be a non-issue on a very, very narrow edge, and much more profound is the sharpness doing the cutting, that comes before any contact with heat could possibly take place. The Gemara asks, but v'ho'ikot tzdodin, are there not the sides of the knife that as you, let us say, cut down into the organs. Now here, in order to develop the question, but this is for the question only, not the answer, in order to develop the question, we want to use an analogy. Imagine you have a bar of butter or margarine, and you have a very hot knife. As the knife descends into the margarine or the butter, the first contact will of course be with the edge of the knife. But as the knife descends into the block of butter, before you even cut very much into the butter, the sides of the knife, which are red hot, are melting away the butter. So there's contact between the sides of the knife and the bar of butter as the knife is going in, even before the knife reaches more than halfway into the block of butter. So if that be the case, is it not then so that the knife is actually burning away, as opposed to cutting, is burning away neck organs before the halfway mark is, before the majority mark is reached? And that would, burning is an effect, what we would call, like we said before in our introduction, is like making a hole in it. It's ruining it. It's diminishing the neck organ with some action other than pure cutting. So that's the Gemara's question when it asks, "V'ikos dodin," is there not the issue of the sides of the knife? The Gemara answers, "Beis hashchita mirvach rovach." There's a wonderful illustration of this phenomenon in the Sichas Chulin illustration book. This means that the neck organs, as they are being cut, they split or they divide, they widen, so that if you were to imagine, if you don't have the illustration book in front of you, so we will try to, through analogy, explain what's going on. If you had some, let us say, some metal, some rubber tubing, and you applied tension to this rubber tube, and as tension is being applied, you take a razor or a very sharp type knife, an X-Acto knife, and start slicing into this rubber tube that is being subjected to tension. What will you notice? You will notice that as the sharp edge of the knife hits the starts cutting, the tube actually starts expanding, so that at really no point in the contact of the knife with the tube is there any contact with the side of the knife. The only contact is with the sharp edge blade, the edge of the blade, and that's it. So that even though the knife may be red hot, the sides of the knife are not coming into contact with the tubes, with the neck organs, as we tried to illustrate through our analogy, and even better, as you can see in the picture. The Gemara now asks a question, and the question that the Gemara delves into now, it would appear to be totally off the topic, having nothing to do with the laws of Shechita. And in fact, that's really the case. The Gemara gets totally off the topic and gets into the realm of Negoyim. Negoyim are skin afflictions that appear, and as a result of these different skin afflictions, there are laws of ritual impurity that govern the situation. These are known as Negoyim or Tzaras, and the topics are discussed in the Torah in Parshas Tazria and a bit in Parshas Metzora as well. We have a subtopic heading that accompanies this section of Gemara, called the Tat Nosei. Now, we should mention ahead of time the reason we're going to discuss the topic of Negoyim is because eventually in this Gemara, if you have your Gemara page in front of you and you scan down the page, there will be a couple triangles that are brought in to solve the question that's raised. The first of the two triangles will be a citation from Rabbi Zera Omar Shmuel, the opening halacha that opened today's shiur. And as a result of that citation, the use of Rabbi Zera Omar Shmuel's halacha to resolve the question, that's why this seeming unrelated section of Gemara is present here. And once again, that's because Gemara that is part of our sugya is going to be introduced to attempt to answer the question that will be raised. Under our tat nosei, tat means a subtopic heading. We've written on the outside margin, libein shpud, a person fired up a spit. A spit is a metal rod used for roasting meat on. So he fired it up, made it white hot, the hikra bo, and hit someone with it. Haim shchin koidem lemichve o ahefech. Haim shchin habo machmas mako koidem lemichve habo machmas eish o ahefech. Of course, what we just read is very obscure at this moment. But after we attempt to give some type of introduction, hopefully these ideas will have a little more meaning. We must also mention, by way of disclaimer, that the topic that we're about to discuss is a bit esoteric, because of the fact that we don't have too much dealings with the issue of negoyim. So, the first point that we'd like to make is that a nega, a discoloration of skin that appears on one's body, will render the person tomei if it has a certain size. The size is called a gris. For the sake of illustration, we will just say it would have the approximate size of an American coin, the dime. What we're saying is just for the sake of illustration and nothing more. So you have to imagine a splotch on a person's body that is ruled upon, by the way, by a kohen. A kohen has to rule upon it based on a tradition that he has in order to determine whether the level of discoloration is such that it would warrant a tzaras classification. In the realm of tzaras, there are many, many different types of possibilities. We are going to discuss two types of tzaras that come under the headings of shchin and mikve. The word shchin has to do with the root of the word, or the origin of the word, has to do with heat, or as we sometimes refer to people who experience boils on their body. And mikve also is heat related, but that's a phenomenon that arises as a result of contact with something that's fire based, either direct fire or a hot coal that was heated in the fire, or something else that's whose heat, whose origin is through through an actual fire. The shchin, on the other hand, is a boil that arises on a person's body because of impact or something else that causes inflammation without involving fire. Now, these things, shchin and mikve themselves, they precede that which is of interest to us. When the shchin and mikve heal, and in their spot there develops a skin discoloration where a certain level of whiteness develops, and there are other scenarios as well, a white redness, a mixture of white redness, but whatever the case is, we'll just refer to it as discoloration. So if in the place that a person had experienced either a fire burn or a inflammation as a result of impact, in either one of these cases, if a nega develops, a whiteness develops where these injuries had been, that could, given the ruling of the kohen, and it's assuming it has the size of a gris, that will result in the person becoming a mitzora, a ritually impure, with lots and lots of halachas that accompany it. If someone experienced on their body in the same spot two injuries, we'll say one fire related and one impact related, on the same spot, how are we to classify it? Are we to classify it as shchin or as mikve? The Gemara will tell us that it is the second form of injury that determines the definition or the name, the title of what the person has. So if first he was afflicted with a fire-related injury, And then on that same spot, he experienced a impact. This person is then called a shchin situation, because shchin is impact related, and the same is true vice versa. The definition of the person's status follows the second incident, the second impact, or the second injury. The rules that govern Shchin and Mikveh, as far as the Torah is concerned, are actually identical. The question that one would have to raise is, if they are identical, why does the Torah have two separate sections, one dealing with Shchin and one dealing with Mikveh? The answer to that is that if you have less than the required shi'ur of one, dimension of one, if we said that dimension is a dime, so if you had, let's say, an injury that is a half of a dime size, and next to it develops an injury of another injury, either shchin or mikveh next to it, will they join up? If they're connected, will they join up? So if they are unlike type injuries, the shchin, one half dime of shchin and one half dime of mikveh, the Gemara will tell us they do not join up. So that there will be a practical legal application or ramification in knowing how to define these injuries. Turning to the Gemara, Ibayalaho, Libein Shpud Vihikobo. We should point out that we're about to start on a long question. The length of this question is illustrated by the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical descending line. All of these lines that are opposite this dashed vertical line form the question. There is a lot of introductory material that one is exposed to before we actually reach the head of the question, but let us begin. So the Gemara raises a scenario where a spit is fired up and then is used to hit somebody. And as we said before, after the person is hit and the injury results, it eventually heals, and in its place there appears a nega. What is the din? We will not review all of these details. Again, we'll just refer to them as shchin and mikveh as we go along. Those are the names of the different negoyim for our purposes. So the person was impacted with a white-hot metal rod. Mishum shchin nidon o mishum mikveh nidon. Is he judged as a victim of shchin or of mikveh? Lamai nafgamina. What practical difference is there in how you classify him? L'chidesanyo. With regard to the following teaching, the following Tanaic source, shchin u'mikveh mitamin b'shavua echod b'shnei simonim. The shchin and mikveh, as opposed to standard tzaras appearances, the shchin and mikveh require only 1 week of guarding. Namely, if a person notices this discoloration and a kohen comes along and notices that there is this discoloration, he then instructs the client to stay indoors, stay away from the public indoors for a week. If after that week there is no growth, no expansion, so then there is no additional week of hesker, of being locked up or closed away, which is the case with other negoyim. But if it stays as the original size at the beginning of the week, he is exempted and free to go about his regular life. That's what the expression b'shavua echad means, and b'shnei simonim shchin mikveh are determined to be problematic with the appearance of one of two signs, either b'seor lavan, if a white hair develops in that spot, or b'pisyon, means expansion. So shchin and mikveh have the same legal standards applied to them, which are different than the rest of the realm of negoyim. The Loma Chilkan HaKasuv, why does the Torah treat them as two separate sections? Answer, Lomar, to tell us, She'ein mitstarfin zeh im zeh, that they do not join up with one another. As we mentioned in our introduction, if a person had a half a gris, the gris was the dimension, he had half of the required dimension for Tumah, half Shechin and half Mikveh, that and they happen to be joining each other, they do not join up to create a full gris in size to condemn the person to tumah. Utnan, and we have a Tanaic source that says, Eizehu shchin veizu mikveh, what is shchin and what is mikveh? Loko be'eitz be'even be'gefes be'chamei teveria. If a person was impacted with wood, with stone, with gefes is residue from olives, and chami tevera is the hot springs of Tiberias, or anything whose heat is not fire originated, lasuye, and this would include avor meikoro. The avor sometimes is translated as lead. This is mined lead. When the lead is extracted from its source, from its mountain or from its ground source, it happens to be very hot. And if that comes into contact with a person, it can cause a burn. But it's a burn that's not fire-related. Zehu shchin. All of these are examples of shchin. And as we said before, when the injury heals and a discoloration develops in that spot, that's what we call shchin. The ezu mikveh, what is that? Mikveh be gacheles, he is burnt with a gacheles, a coal, beremetz, besid roseach, begifsis roseach. All of these are elements that whose heat is because they were subjected to the fire. Uvechol davar habo machmas, or anything else that comes as a result of fire exposure. And this expression uvechol davar comes to include la'asuye chamei haor, boiling water. This is as opposed to the hot springs that are, I think the term is geothermal heat. These boiling water from a kettle that's taken off the fire, the heat of the water is its origin was the fire. Zuhi mikveh. Those, any of these examples would constitute a mikveh. V'tanya, shchin u mikveh. And this other source tells us that if you have both elements taking place at the same spot, a person was, let's say, experienced impact and fire on the same spot of his body. Im shchin koidim lemikveh. If the first exposure was to impact and then to some fire-related injury, bitel mikveh es hashchin. The mikveh, which in this example was the second exposure, it cancels the shchin status. In other words, the second exposure is what determines his status. And likewise, the opposite, the im mikveh kodemes l'shchin, if the mikveh preceded the shchin, then bitel shchin es hamikveh. V'hocha, here is now the question is coming to a head. Here, in our question regarding the heated up shpud, and you notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. This is to tie you into the arrow above where the question was raised initially. V'acha hechi domi. And here, our question with regard to the person who was impacted with the heated up rod, what's the background to this? Kigon, we're talking about a person, dahave bechatzi gris shchin meikora. He had on his body half the dimension that's required for Tumah, half a gris of shchin. In other words, he had experienced, let's say, non-fire type injury, impact injury, creating a spot on his skin that was injured of a half gris. And then what happened? V'libein shpud v'hika bo, and a rod was fired up and he was hit with it. V'nofak be chatzi gris acher, and a second chatzi gris adjacent to the original chatzi gris, next to the original chatzi gris of shchin, now a new chatzi gris developed. My, how are we to classify this second half gris? Bear in mind,
if the second half gris will be classified as shchin, so shchin plus shchin join up to be a full gris because they are both of like nature. If, however, the second injury is classified as mikveh, we mentioned before that mikveh and shchin do not join up. So how do we look at the heated rod impact situation? My chavata kodim. Do you say impact is that which is the initial source of injury? The osi chavala hevla. Hevla is heat. The osi hevla umevatel lei lechavata, and then the heat is the second source of injury, and the heat being second then would cancel that which is initial. The havi lei. And then we would call this second gris is in effect a mikveh, because the second thing is heat or is fire or oriented. And this person then would have had, he had his original half gris of shchin, v'havile shchin, that's the original half gris, u'michveh, that's this new injury, v'lo mitzdarfin, and they do not join up because they would be, in that case, they are different in nature. Oidilma, or do we say, with regard to the rod, do we say that the hevla kodim, that the first exposure to injury is heat, is fire oriented, the osi chavata umevatel le lehevla, and then the impact, which is of second influence, it comes and cancels the fire related influence, and thereby the second is the determining factor, and it would be then shchin, the havilei, and then our patient or our client over here in the question is shchin u'shchin. The first shchin is the original half gris of shchin that he had before any exposure to the rod, and then the rod element would be classified as shchin because according to this side of according to the old Dilma, we're saying the heat, the fire element is the first cause and then the impact, and we say things are determined by second cause, and therefore it would be shchin. So now I've got two half grisen of shchin next to each other, umitzdarif, and they would join up. So in a nutshell, we are trying to analyze how to view impact with heated metal. Is it the heat that's the primary, the initial cause, or impact that's the initial cause? Toshma. Well, now these triangles, and we've explained on the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, these are nisyonos, attempts lahachriya she'ela hanal, to determine the question that we just raised. So in our first attempt, we draw from our opening halacha of today's shiur, the Omar Rabbi Zera Mar Shmuel, libein sakin v'shochat ba, if a knife was fired up and it was used for shchita, shchita suk shera, the shchita is acceptable. And why do we say the shchita is acceptable? Is there not an issue of his burning away the organs? The answer is no, there is no burning away, because chiduda koidem lilibuna. The edge, the cutting, which is a non-fire issue, precedes the heat issue. Alma chavata kodim, so that we see when you're dealing with something, let's say heated up metal, its impact that is the initial factor. And in back to our question then, if you say impact is initial factor, then the second factor would be the fire related element, and he would be classified as mikveh as far as our question is concerned. And because we presented a scene where he had a half gris of shchin initially, then this person would not become tomei. The Gemara says you can't bring any proofs from Rabbi Zerah Meshul's halacha with shchita, because chidud shiny means the fact that you're dealing with something that's very sharp, with a very, very thin edge, that is totally different. In that case, the fire element is basically non-existent. The heat element is non-existent. So that we, in our question, we're dealing with something where the heat element, where the fire element is an issue, because you were dealing with a person being impacted by a rod, let's say side swipe by a rod, not not something with a very thin edge, so that in the case of the rod, you have both factors present, and this case of Shita is simply not parallel. Toshma, so we try another attempt to answer the question. And this is a Tanaic source, and in fact, the Tanaic source seems to present exactly our case. Libein Shpud v'hikabo, a rod was fired up. A Shpud is a spit, as we mentioned earlier, and it was used to hit somebody after it was fiery hot. Nidon mishum michvas esh. He is judged to be the victim of a michvas esh, of a burn. Alma, so we see from here, chavota kodim. The impact comes first. Because the impact comes first, and the heat-related the injury comes second, the second thing is that which determines matters, and he's therefore classified as michvas esh. The Gemara says that case is different as well. Hosam nami de barzei mivraz de hainu chidud. In the case of that Tanaic source, a situation of piercing was illustrated, was referred to, and not a side swipe with a hot metal rod. Therefore, in a case where you have someone being pierced with a very pointy rod, it's clear there that the initial contact is the non-fire element, but rather the impact element. Because when you're dealing with a very fine point that's penetrating the person's skin, the very fine point doesn't have surface area in which we can regard any element of heat. The issue of the heat comes up, of the fire heat comes up only as the rod continues to be inserted into the skin. And of course, we have to point out that the penetration of skin is not the case, not parallel to the case of the shechita we saw before, where there was mirvach ravach, but more similar to the case of the butter. But nevertheless, that case, the impact element is so clearly preceding the heat element, it doesn't answer our question where you had a rod side-swiping some individual, where you had a sufficient representation of heat at the very beginning so as to create our question. So the question itself remains unanswered. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new marking. We have diamonds that appear. And these diamonds are explained in the outside margin. We should also point out that these diamonds have colored in tips so as to distinguish them from diamonds that appeared on the previous Amud. We, in our markings, like to make sure that when you're looking at two facing pages of Gemaras, each geometric form is used only once. So, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we've written Gimel Halochas Hakshuros Le Kashrus Hasakin. There are three halochas that have something to do with the acceptability of the knife. This is actually a very general type of introduction, but it serves our purposes in highlighting the breakdown of the Gemara into three separate issues in which the issue of knife does play a role. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, Sakin shel avodas kechovim. The knife, a knife that's used in the service of an idol. It's important to know, in general, when dealing with idolatry, idolatry creates a situation known as Isser Hanoah. One is not allowed to benefit from, let us say, from an actual idol. It is there for, if one comes into possession of such a thing, he must destroy it, he's not allowed to sell it or receive any benefit from it. The same is true with regard to vessels that are used to serve idols. If the vessel was used in the service of an idol, it too becomes forbidden to benefit from. One form of benefit is financial gain. Our Gemara continues, with a sakin shalvei suchavim, mutar lishchol bo v'osir lachtoch bo basar. He rules that it is allowed to be used for slaughtering, and forbidden to use this knife for carving meat, for cutting meat into appropriate what is known in butcher language, cuts of meat. The Gemara now goes over these points. Mutar lishchol bo, why? Mikalkelhu. You're not deriving financial benefit from slaughtering an animal. A live animal is worth more than a slaughtered animal. A live animal can be used for plowing. If it's a female, it can be used for milk production, for hair production. If it's, let us say, a sheep. There are many benefits that one has from a live animal that that one does not have from a slaughtered animal. So, therefore, when taking the knife of Avodas Kechavim and using it for slaughtering, you're actually diminishing your financial worth. And therefore, you're said to be not benefiting. And the term for that is mekalkel, which is technically means ruination. You're ruining something. And therefore, it's allowed to use the sakin shel Avodas Kechavim. However, v'osur lachtuch b'basur, because misakinhu, just a large side of beef is worth less than that same quantity of meat cut down into the various cuts of meat that people buy. So that's an improvement, that's misakein, and therefore it would be usur to use the sakin shel avodas kechavim, which is something that's usur b'hanah, forbidden to benefit from. Omar Rava, pe'omim, sometimes shashochet usur. And when is shochet usur? B'misukenes. If the live animal is deathly ill, and if that animal in another minute drops dead, it's practically worthless to the owner. If you successfully slaughter it before it drops dead, that's considered an acceptable slaughtering, and now you have a ton of kosher meat. The ton of kosher meat is worth much more than a ton of dead meat. So slaughtering a misukenes is considered of great benefit to the owner, and therefore a sakin shel avodas kechavim would not be allowed for slaughtering such an animal. Mechatech mutar, when would mechatech be allowed? Cutting up a cut of meat with the sakin shel avodas kechavim would be allowed. The answer to that is be'atmi, dekaimin lekorbana. There are certain cuts of meat, let's say, for illustration purposes only, a nice cut of roast. The nice cut of roast is something, a korbana is a word meaning a gift. It's a type of cut that you would present to someone as a gift. If you were to take that and chop it up into ground meat or even sliced meat, is sliced in some kind of just chopped up fashion, so you're using a knife to chop up a beautiful cut of roast, that diminishes its value, because as just chopped pieces of meat, it's worth less, and you would not give that as a gift to someone, whereas a fine cut of roast, a complete roast, that you would give. The Gemara asks, even if you say that mechatech is mutter, How is it mutter? Maybe mutter, you will say, on the grounds of financial benefit, where in this case there's financial loss, but nevertheless, the tepuk le mishum shamnunis di isura. Should you not still concern yourself with the fact that there is shamnunis, or fats that were absorbed into this knife? We're talking about a knife that was used for idolatry. We're not talking about something kosher, so it absorbed unkosher foodstuffs, substances, and now you're using it to cut meat. So Rashi at the bottom says, even though financially you are in fact ruining this beautiful roast, nevertheless, osur lachtoch, it should still be osur to cut the roast, mishum shamnunis diisura denevelus shenivlu basakin, because of the forbidden fats that are absorbed into this knife. And by cutting the kosher meat with it, you're going to thereby transfer the absorbed fats into the meat. The Gemara answers, Bechadosha. We're talking about a brand new, out-of-the-package
Avodah Zorah knife, so that it wasn't exposed to any unkosher food substances. The Gemara asks, Chadasha, if we're mentioning Chadasha, if the topic here of Rav Nachman Omar Rabavua is talking about a Sakin Shavu Sechavim that's brand new, then it's not forbidden at whatsoever. Chadasha, Bein L'Rabbi Shmuel, Bein L'Rabbi Kiva, they, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva, have a controversy in another topic regarding Avodah Zarah. That is with regard to the idol itself. When does an idol, that the item that itself is worshipped, when does it become forbidden? Is it upon its manufacture or upon its being worshipped? But here we're not talking about the idol itself. We're talking about the knife. The knife is a service element to an idol. So the Gemara points out, whether you are Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, Misham Shevaris Kochavim, we're talking about surface elements, surface utensils of idols. Umisham Shevaris Kochavim, Einon Asurin Ad Shiyavdu. They are not prohibited. They don't become forbidden until they are actually used. So that, description of our Sugya, the Sakh Shevaris Kochavim being out of the package, is not accurate. And being that's the case, we have to be talking about a used knife. And if you're talking about a used knife, even if you say from the financial element you're not benefiting, but the meat that you're cutting with it, the kosher meat that you are now cutting with it, doesn't it become forbidden because of its absorption of the forbidden fats that are in this knife that was used by the Gentile? So to answer the issue of the shamnunis, the Gemara presents two possibilities. Iboy esema, the posak bei gavza lavedus kochavim. True, the knife was used in service of the idol, but it wasn't used for meat substances or for food substances whatsoever. It was used for chopping wood for the idol, and therefore there's no issue of forbidden fats. Iboy esema biyashana, we can say that the sakin of the avodah zarah was used for meat. It's old. It's not a new knife, because that wouldn't have fit the bill. It's a used knife. However, shelibna ba'ur, it was fired up, and as such, the firing up of the knife removed the any absorbed forbidden food elements, and therefore you're left with a knife that has an Iser Hanol on it, by virtue of the fact that it was used in service of the Avodah Zarah. But as far as the Kashrus issue, the forbidden food element, that doesn't play a role because of the Libun, the Kashering, the removal of it through its exposure to fire. Now we have another knife issue, and we call this number two, Itmar. Hashochet Besakin Shel Ovdei Kochavim. One slaughters an animal with a Gentile-owned knife. Now, this Gentile-owned knife has the problem here is that it has fat on it, and the fat on it is now presents a question with regard to the area of the neck that came into contact with the Shechita knife. So, once again, you have a Gentile knife that's used, and the Gentile knife was used for unkosher food. Now you're using it to slaughter a kosher animal. What do I do with regard to the area of the meat, namely the neck area of the slaughtered animal, with regard to the issue of kashrus? Two approaches. Rav Omar Kolef, Rav Barachana Omar Mediach. Rav says you are to peel away a thin layer of neck meat, the where the incision took place, or where the slice took place. Peel away a thin layer of meat from there, and this is because the base hashchita, the neck area, absorbed some of that forbidden fat, the fattiness that's on the Gentile's knife. And by peeling away a thin layer of meat, you'll thereby have solved the problem, because in that thin layer, that's where the absorbed forbidden food substance would be. The Rabbi Barachana Omar Mediach. Rabbi Barachana says it's sufficient to rinse it off. You'll be rinsing off the fat that's stuck to the sides of what's called the base hashchita, to the area where the incision took place.
The Gemara wants to raise a possibility as to what their argument is based on. So, lema b'hal kamithlgi. Should we, can we say that in the following, or based on the following, is their machlokas? The mar sovar beis hashchita tzonein. Rabba, who holds all you have to do is rinse it off, is because he classifies the heat level. There's body heat when you're dealing with a living organism, and we're dealing here with a cow or a sheep. There's body heat. That body heat that exists at the neck when it's being slaughtered is classified as tzonein, as cool. And as cool, it therefore wouldn't absorb. Only things that are where there's a certain heat level are described as being capable of absorbing. Something that's cold doesn't absorb, and therefore rinsing off the superficial film of fat that may have clung to the surface would be sufficient. Umor Savar, Rav, who says Kolef, holds Beis Hashchita Roseach. Maybe Rav is of the opinion that Beis Hashchita is classified as hot and therefore capable of absorbing, and therefore you have to remove a layer of skin or a layer of meat from the neck to ensure that you have removed the absorbed fats. The Gemara says loy, and you'll notice in the Gemara we've assigned a Roman number 1 and 2 to the next section of Gemara. These represent two lishonos in how to present the machlokas Rabba and Rav. Two answers, two conclusions. They're actually opposite in nature. So the first approach is lo de kule almo beis hashchita roseachu. Everyone is in agreement that the beis hashchita, the neck area, is called hot. Ma domar kolev shapir, the opinion of Rav that says peel away a layer, that's shapir, that's fine, that's easy to understand why you do that. Uma domar mediach, the approach that says rinsing off is sufficient. Aidi de tridi simonim lafuke dam lo bali. Since the neck organs are involved with spewing forth in an outward motion or outward movement, a blood flow, an outward blood flow movement, therefore it's incapable at that time of absorbing inwards. There's a, we'll call a counterforce. A counterforce to the absorption is the outward flow of the blood, thereby preventing any problem of absorption, and therefore rinsing off is sufficient. Iko the Amri, another approach or another version of this presentation. The Kuli Alma Beis Hashchita Tzonein. Everyone will agree that the Beis Hashchita is classified as cool. The neck area is considered as cool with regard to our halachas. Man diomar mediach shapir, the opinion that says simply rinse off, that's fine, that's easy to understand because it's cool, there is no absorption. Man diomar kolef, the opinion that says that you are expected to peel away a layer of meat, a thin layer of meat, that needs explanation. And that's because agav duchako de sakino bola, because of the knife pressure, you're cutting into the meat. So there's a pressing in, so to speak, of the knife. That pressing in of the knife assists the absorption of the fats into the meat, into the neck meat that is being cut. And that, therefore, is reason for insisting on peeling away a layer of neck meat. A new issue, also related to the knife, a third issue, sakin trefa. This is a knife that was used for slaughtering an animal that turned out to be unacceptable. We'll call it unkosher. Unkosher because of an organ deficiency, which is called trefa. There are 18 different types of trefa, but it's not the purview of our Gemara to delve into that right now. Suffice it to say that you just slaughtered an animal that was found to be a trefa. The question now is, what about the knife? How do I kasher the knife? Is there a kasher's problem with regard to the knife, cleansing the knife? After all, the knife was used for slicing the neck of an animal that's unkosher, as we discover it to be unkosher. How do you restore the knife to being classified as acceptable? Rav Achav Ravina,
two opinions. Had Omar b'chamin, you have to boil the knife. You have to boil the knife in order to release the absorbed fats that it absorbed from the trefa. V'chad Omar b'tzonein, the other opinion says it's sufficient to rinse it off with cold water. V'hilchasa afilu b'tzonein, the Gemara rules that even cold water is sufficient. The iika blisa de parsa lemichbere lo tzorech. And if you have blisa de parsa, is a coarse type of material, lemichbere, to cleanse it, to wipe it off with, something like a Brillo pad, or there are certain companies that produce for dishwashing coarse pads that help remove debris from serviceware. That's blisa de parsa. So if you use that to wipe off the knife, then you don't need anything further. Ulaman di Omar b'chamin maitaima. According to the opinion that said you have to do hagola to the knife, you have to boil the knife. Why is that? Answer, Mishum de Kabola Isura, because it absorbed that which is forbidden. It absorbed food or food elements from a trefa. The Gemara asks, well, the hetero nami, the hetero nami means a standard slaughtering of a kosher animal, an animal that turns out to be kosher. Bolo Eva Menachai, does it not absorb Eivor Menachai? Eivor Menachai is the limb of a living animal. If one were to walk up to a kosher variety animal and rip off its leg, that is totally forbidden. Well, when you're cutting into an animal, you're cutting into a living animal. So the fact that you're cutting into a living animal, that is forbidden. The animal is not allowed until it actually until its organs are the majority of which are cut. Prior to that, it's called Eivor Menachai. A living animal is Eivor Menachai. So is it not true that every sakin shel shechita, every shechita knife is absorbing Eivor Menachai? The Gemara answers, Emas Bola. At what point in the use of the knife can we start to raise the issue of absorption? V'chi chaimo, only when a certain heat level is reached. Emas kochaimo, when is the heat level reached? V'chi gomra shchita, the heat level is reached only upon the conclusion of the slaughtering. Well, hahi shaita hetera have, when the necessary heat level is reached, it's already been completely slaughtered. And therefore, the knife used in slaughtering an animal that turns out to be totally kosher presents no problem. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a marking, a triangle around Rav Yehuda. On the outside margin, we've indicated under our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature the topic and structural note together, Memros Shel Rav Yehuda. These are comments of Rav Yehuda. Eitzos toivos lemnoa bilbul besakinim udloim. Here we will mention good ideas with regard to preventing confusion regarding knives and pails of water. This will become evident as we go on in the Gemara. We've also used we've underlined the Rav, the name that Rav Yehuda quotes. The first few halachas of his, he quotes Rav, and later in the Gemara we will notice Rav Yehuda quoting Shmuel, namely on Daf Tes. But in the meantime, we have Rav Yehuda quoting Rav. Om Rav Yehuda Marav, Hatabokh, person involved with slaughtering meat, Tzorech Shloisho Sakinim, he needs three knives. Achas Shishochipo, one that is used for the actual slaughtering, and he has to have a special knife which has to be guarded from notches. It has to be totally smooth edge knife. That's reserved for the slaughtering. The acha, the echod shemechatech bo basar, and one that is used for cutting the meat into its various cuts of meat. The acha, the echod shemechatech bo chalovim, and one knife that he uses for the cutting away, the removal of chelev. Chelev is a substance found in different parts of the animal that is forbidden to eat. So he uses a certain knife to cut away the chelev.
The Gemara asks, "V'liskin lechado, why not have one knife for the chelev and for cutting the chelev and the basar? The lechtuch ba basar, and then cut the meat first. Cut the meat into its various cuts. The hadar lechtuch ba chalavim, and then use it for removing the chelev. And if you were to follow that order, so the knife is in contact with kosher material all the time until the end, until it's finally used for the chalef. So there's no problem of any a knife having unkosher absorption cutting into kosher material. The Gemara says, listen, we can't rely on him having one knife, because gzeiro shemo yachtoch chalovim v'achar kach basar. We're fearful that he might cut the chalev first and then the basar. And if he does that, the knife that was used for cutting, the very same knife that was used for cutting chalev has chalev substance on it, and then that's going to be absorbed into the basar that he cuts, the meat that he cuts afterwards. The Gemara asks, well, now that he has a couple knives, but hashto nami michlef lei, but is it not a possibility that there will be confusion now as well? The Gemara answers, kevon da'atzrichinu trei, since we insist on this having two separate knives, one for the meat and one for the chalev, is lei hekero. That serves as a point of recognition which will prevent mix-up. In other words, two separate units creates greater insurance than having one element, one unit, and then relying on his remembering the order of usage. The Omar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, hatabach tzorich shnei kelim shel mayim. The butcher, the slaughterer, needs two vessels that contain water. We'll say two pails of water. Echad shemadiach bo basar, one that he uses for cleaning, for rinsing off the meat, and before kashering the meat, before salting the meat, which is designed to remove the blood that's absorbed in the meat, and blood is something forbidden for Jews to consume, the meat is rinsed off. So he needs a pail for the rinsing off of the meat. The echad shemadiach bo chalovim, and a pail that he needs for rinsing off the chelev. Chelev, even though it's forbidden to eat it, nevertheless it's something that one can sell, for example. So before selling it, it's necessary to rinse off these hunks of chelev. So he needs a separate pail for that. The Gemara asks, v'niskin lechado, why not have one pail, v'nediach boi basar, v'odo niach boi chalovim, have one pail of water, and he'll be expected to first rinse off the meat, and at that point the water has no problem with it and the rinsing is fine, and then after that rinse off the chelev. The Gemara answers, as we said before, we can't rely on one pail for the use of both elements. We're afraid he might rinse off the chelev first and then the meat, so and then the meat would be exposed to a pail that has residue chelev in it, and that would be a problem. Well, the Gemara asks, now that we have two pails, so how have we improved the situation? Hashtanami michlefilei, now that he has two pails, is it not possible that he'll switch them around? The Gemara answers, kivon datzrichinei tarte, since we have insisted on his having two, so is le hekero. And we have to improve our explanation that we gave before. Is le hekero means you can rely on him for making a sign on each pail, indicating one for basar and one for chelev. And this would of course have been the explanation as well with regarding the knives. Once we insist that he has two knives, that will enable him to make a sign on each knife. This is the chelev knife and this is the basar knife. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.